You're listening to Money Making Mothers with Carla Edwards, where we discuss the highs and lows of being a working parent, how to master the art of spinning plates, and remind ourselves that just because you became a mother does not mean your dreams no longer exist. You can have it all.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I am joined by our first international guest, Karina Burton. Karina's from America and she has built up her own construction cleaning company and has done this whilst raising four beautiful daughters. She goes through the highs and lows of how she's managed to get where she is today, and I'm sure you're all going to enjoy our first American Money Making Mothers story.
Hi, I'm Karina Burton, and I co-own a construction cleaning company called CPR Construction Cleaning. I am a mother of four beautiful daughters. The age ranges from 17, 15, 12, and 4. So I definitely have my hands full.
Wow. Oh my God, right. So I obviously have, the way I've connected with you is through LinkedIn. On that platform, yeah. And I see your posts and I think that you're really, really inspiring. Like when I see what you've wrote and what you're doing, it's always caught my eye, which is why I wanted you to be on, because I know you'll be able to inspire a lot of women. But I'll be honest, I thought you were at least a decade younger than what you are. I'm proper shocked that you've got a 17-year-old daughter. I thought you only had one child, so I'm really took back by that. So can you give me a bit of background on, like, obviously the four children and the age difference and things?
Yeah, for sure. And I know that I don't really share too much about my other three daughters just because they're older. And, you know, I know you have children. Usually your youngest one is more inclined to take a photo with you than your older. Yeah. So that's happening. But so my first three daughters, I did have them in a previous marriage. I was married for 10 years, had three beautiful daughters in that relationship. And then we separated, and I was probably single. I think I was single for about 5 years. And then I met my husband today. And then we had a beautiful little girl together. So that is my four daughters. But when I was married, in my first marriage, I was a stay-at-home mom. I got married very young. I had just turned 19 years old. So it was literally October, and I got married in November. So I just turned 19, and then boom, got married.
God. Right away. That is so young.
Later, I found out I was pregnant. And I, you know, it sounds kind of silly, but really my background, I wasn't really educated in too much about family planning, just your basics.
Yeah.
And I ended up pregnant right away and I was terrified. I remember when I found out I was pregnant, I was crying so bad. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how, I was a teen mother, right?
Yeah, you were so young.
And I was definitely nervous, but my first child was heaven sent. She was such a great, great baby who came out like an adolescent. She was really a very smart child. And I didn't know any different. I thought all babies talk at 9 months old and are doing all of these things. So, you know, I just was like, oh, this is how things are. I didn't have anything to compare it to because my siblings weren't married and didn't have children. And none of my friends, no, they didn't have any kids. So I was really just wandering motherhood by myself for the first, I'll probably say like the first 7 years, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah. How come you were a stay-at-home mom then?
You know, it had a lot to do with my background, and kind of the belief system that I grew up in. And it was one of those things, you get married really young, you have a family, the woman stays home. And it sounds kind of strange because we're in 2021. But at the time it was 2002 when I got married. But even then it was not very common, but it was very common in the culture that I was in and that I lived in. And so it was like, I supported my husband to go to school and get his college education and him become the supporter, the foundation of our family financially. And that's, you know, throughout the years, that's kind of when I started to realize that although I was very grateful for everything that my spouse was doing, I felt very restricted from being able to grow myself and to be able to find out who I was. All I did was day in, day out, get up with the kids, take them, you know, to do, you know, childlike things like the park or to the mall to go play at the,
you
know.
You were just a mom.
I was just a mom.
All the time.
Day. And with the type of personality that I have, I've always been a very creative person and I've always had a very creative outlet. And I never realized that I could use that creativity and put it into what I'm doing today and what my career background is in business development, marketing, and sales and become successful at that. You know, I always thought creativity, you had to essentially create a product or create something, you know, be people who are crafty. I'm not crafty.
Yeah. I know what you mean, where they're looking like visually, there's a difference between visually seeing something and be able to understand what the potential is to making it, to actually creating it. I'm very like that. I'm very good at seeing and placing where things should be, but there's no way I could make it as in create it myself.
Yeah, for sure. That's me. I'm not a crafty person, but in my mind I can come up with great ideas on how to create bigger opportunities. And then also I then realized how important it is to have that skill of relationship building with people. And it's not necessarily about what you know, but who you know, and to utilize that in a very sacred way. You don't utilize it as an, I'm only becoming friends with you because you might have something there for me. It's a very sacred partnership that you are about to, you're about to have with someone else. And, you know, you want to honor that and make it.
Yeah, because they're going to be part of your journey then going forward, aren't they? So the relationships you build with people who are going to help you in your career, can really, they can make a big difference to whether you are successful or not. So yeah, I see that happens a lot though, doesn't it, in business, that people just use people and do get what they can from them. But I think that comes down to karma as well. If you're a good person, you do things for the right reasons, then it'll always come back over again. So why is it that you do what you do now then? So how did you get to becoming like in the position that you are now?
So after my marriage ended, I didn't have any background in my college education. I think I had gone to school for maybe a year and a half. And even at that time, I knew what I wanted to do, but then it switched once I got married and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And then I knew I wasn't going to go to school anymore after I had a baby. So here I am at like nothing. I don't have, you know, a college degree. I hardly have any work experience. Okay, this is a decision that I've made because I know that I have so much more to give to myself and to my girls. I wanted to be a great example for my girls. I wanted them to say, I want to be like my mom. I want to be able to fight my dreams and persevere and feel like I've been able to give back in not just motherhood, which is one of the most beautiful callings, but also in life and in my talents that I feel like God has given me, and I should be able to share that with others.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm starting at nothing and I have hardly any money. So I'm thinking, okay, well, what are one of the jobs that I can go to? And I started working at a jewelry store called Swarovski. And that's when...
These are Swarovski, actually. The earrings I've got in today. My wedding earrings are Swarovski. I can't say it, but yeah.
Jewelry is the best. I worked there when I lived in LA. So I lived there as well. I know you mentioned that. I lived right in West Hollywood, and I worked at the Grove at Swarovski there.
Wow.
And they did a really great job monthly teaching marketing, how to better sell the people that are coming in and just looking, and how to create a story and how to turn someone from a looker to a buyer. So I thought that was really fascinating. And I thought it was so interesting how important it was to share that, to share their story, for people to feel like, I want to buy their jewelry. I can see this in my life. And, you know, and it becomes this story in their life that they want to be able to take with them so that they can have it for their, you know, for their future, and also be able to, you know, share it with their children or so on and so forth. But so when I decided to get my first, big kid job is what I'll call it.
Yeah.
When I started working for a restoration company doing sales, and I thought, okay, I can do this. Selling jewelry can be a very difficult thing because people are just coming in and just wanting to look, and you have to hit a number every single day versus how many people are coming in. So I'm thinking, I've got this. I know I can do it. And I remember when I first started doing restoration. So restorations, emergency services, anyone who's experiencing water, fire, mold, the company I worked for, you know, would come in and do the remediation, the cleanup, and the build out. And I worked a lot with insurance agents and property management companies. And I remember when I was going out for the first few times, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the worst experience of my life. I literally got in my car and I was just like, what am I doing? Because people looking at me like, oh, here's another person trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
They don't want that. So I thought, I've got to come up with a different approach. What can I do differently? And I read this quote that explains it perfectly. It's, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to come up with another perspective of what the wheel looks like, so that it makes it your unique foundation or creation of the same thing. So I thought, okay, what can I do? And I started to notice that when I would go in and meet with these new prospective clients, I started just to be myself, 100%. I went in, I shared my information, but I really was genuine on building a relationship with them and getting to know them on a very genuine level. And so I'm like, wow, I didn't think that would be so effective.
Yeah, just by being you.
So few people do that. So many people have to put this facade up. They don't want to share who they are. They don't want to the wall down and be a transparent person with a person that they're trying to do business with. And once I started doing that, I started seeing such great success that really elevated my career in the last 7 years to the point that I am now, which is, you know, running and owning my own business with my business partner, Patrick Mays, and being able to go from companies where they have had me, you know, they were either a brand new company or a company that really needed assistance on their growth because they were very stagnant, or they just were struggling to get up off their feet and have this significant growth. You know, they hired me to be able to do that for them. And so you know, I thought to myself, well, if I'm doing this for other companies, I'm certain that I can do this for my own company. And so being able to grow my company in a way that is, it's so straightforward, but it's so seldomly done in a transparent, forward, vulnerable way is definitely what has set me apart and has fueled this fire to have me continue to do what I'm doing today.
So how successful has the company been, like since setting it up?
So we started the company middle of 2019. And at the time when we first started it, I was still working a full-time job. So, you know, I'm still doing my 40, 50 hours at my full-time job.
Yeah.
And coming home and networking with people for in the construction industry and putting bids together. So I was working every day from, you know, 8 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m. to probably 9 to 10 for 4 months straight, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have kids too, you have, I felt the stress and the pressure surmounting me. And it finally got to a point though, where we had built our company enough in that 4 months that it was able to sustain my business partner and I full time, because we didn't have an investor. We literally started our company off of $2,000, and we were able to skyrocket that from job to job to job, from opportunities, in 4 months, to be able to sustain our salaries, to be able to provide for our. So, you know, that in itself was a feat, but, you know, once we quit our full-time jobs and we went to the CPR full-time, that was 2020, right before the pandemic hit. God. What are we going to do? Because all I knew was, you know, business to face-to-face, going out, having lunches, having breakfast, having happy hours. And literally within 2 months, that was completely, you know, that had completely changed everything. But in that time, you know, I had to really dig deep and figure out what I was going to do and how I was going to alleviate that stress for me, and obviously have our company continue to thrive. So from that point to today, we are now in not only Arizona, but we are in Utah, California, Nevada, and Colorado. So now we're in 5 states in a year.
That's amazing. So obviously the COVID situation hasn't affected you, because you've managed to adapt to what's going on and still be successful.
So that's the word, adapt is exactly why we have succeeded, because if I was to have said to myself, I don't do social media marketing, it's not something I really had a lot of experience in myself. You know, my personal social media is just all about my children. Pictures of, I don't, you know, do any motivational posts or quotes or anything like that. But I was thinking to myself, how do I network and market and share who I am with my clients face to face? Well, I'm going to have to somehow translate that over into social media, because that is the only way people are going to see me, learn about me, find out who I am, and even my company. And so once I started to put that content out there in sharing who I am as a person, because as a person, that's who you're doing business with, then people feel more comfortable and more likely to want to build that industry partnership with you. But also, I wanted to really showcase my company and the work that we have done. I always want everything that I show on social media content or our website, anything that we put out there, is 100% our work. You'll never see stock photos. You'll always see my team working on a job, no job is ever staged so that we can get, you know, media content.
Yeah, so it's real. So it's just like going back to, it's still going back to your roots of the reason you've been successful and developed the business in the first place is because you realize being real is the way to do it and just to be yourself.
Yeah.
So that's mirrored and flowed through with the rest of everything to do with the company, which is good because that means that it's the framework of what you're building is that you're real.
You know, it's interesting to be in this industry at all because my background is in restoration services. That's what I had been doing for 10 years of my career. And I had it's not been glamorous the last 10 years of my life, my second life, I'd like to call it, because it feels so strange to think like where I was at 10
yeah,
years.
What was happening?
but you know, this is actually my third opportunity of being an entrepreneur. My first time of trying to be an entrepreneur, I had been approached by someone who saw that I was very successful in the industry and asked, you know, can you help me grow my company? And at the time I was still learning, and I don't want to say the word naive, but I was still naive because before when I was married, I really didn't have much of the outside world responsibilities. Everything I did was at home. I didn't really, I was in charge of paying the bills either. It was, you know, at the time my husband was in charge. And so, you know, I'm just learning how to live in this world that I had no idea how to handle certain things. And so my experience, my first time, it was kind of like, boom, hit me like a truck, like, this person is being dishonest with me. This person is stealing from me. I've got to make a change. And, I ended up going to another restoration company where I had really great experiences, but also a lot of terrible experiences. But at the same time, I look at it and I'm like, wow, I've grown so much from that point. And I had left this second company that I went to go work for a janitorial company. It was a nationwide janitorial company in the Phoenix area, and they were trying to get off the ground. They had been in the Phoenix market for 2 years, and the owner of the company had reached out to me and said, hey, I've heard great things about you in the industry. Can you please come and help me grow my company? And, you know, I thought this was a great opportunity. It was a significant growth for me financially. And I thought, well, I'm going to do it. So I was there for about close to a year. I was there, and I had, you know, the owner of the old restoration company come to me and ask if I would go and partner with him. So he was going to give me a portion of his restoration company.
Oh, so is he you with now?
No, I'm not. No.
All right. Okay.
So, you know, I think, okay, I'm like, all right, this is a huge like sacrifice for me because I had decided to go to this janitorial company where financially I was making so much more money and, you know, things were going really great. And I thought, okay, this is my dream. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I thought this would be a great opportunity to be able to start this foundation, really learning what it means to be an entrepreneur and all the ins and outs, not just the marketing aspect and how to grow. I will learn how to do operations. So I go back, and unfortunately, very early on, I started to see the writing on the wall that it was probably one of the worst decisions that I could have made. And it was a great learning experience now that I look back after almost 2 years, right? I can look back and say, okay, I learned a lot. But at the time, it really knocked me on my butt, and it was horrible.
Yeah, but you got back up. So that's amazing in itself, because not a lot of people would try 1, 2, 3 times. They'd give up after the first. So as long as you can like you said, take something from it, learn and grow from it, then and keep going, obviously it works, doesn't it? Because now you're running a successful company.
That's true. When I decided to call it quits, I was heartbroken, and I just decided to take a job that was in the industry that I could be able to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? I really wanted to be an entrepreneur. I really felt that I had it within me to create a company that was not just another company, but a company that was able to be a problem-solving company and to make a difference in the industry. And so, you know, at the time, I wasn't really thinking that. I was just thinking, what am I going to do? I don't even know what I'm going to do. So I go to this other company and I'm licking my wounds. I was very sick. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what am I going to do? And at this time, I was working with who is now my business partner. And I've known him for 5 years and we've worked together on and off throughout that time. And I had approached him just because some topic of construction cleaning came up, and I had approached him and said, you know, we've always talked about starting a business together, you know, 50-50 business where we're in it together and we're in the trenches together. What do you think about construction cleaning? And it was literally like fireworks. And from that moment on, it has just been amazing. I mean, I like to say that karma is coming back to me, right? Because I've experienced so much difficulty in my career. And I feel like today it's like paying it forward, because have been escalating so quickly, and all of the hard work, everything that I've put into creating
the brand,
it's now blooming, right? Even though my company is so new, I have been working on this train for a long time.
It's been a build up of all the other things that you've been through that give the end product of what it is now.
Yep.
Which is amazing that it's what, obviously, especially with the pandemic, that you've come out the other end of it even better off, and that's incredible. Would you say that that has been, you know, what you've explained there about your someone trying to do you over, basically, and not being very honest, would that be one of the most difficult parts of the journey for you?
Yes. I have... You know, there's that trust. I've always been somebody who has put myself out there and has been very open and honest. I like to always communicate how I'm feeling and what my thoughts are, or if I'm having any issues. And I used to have expectations that the other person would then be the same. And obviously over the years, I learned to not have expectations of other people.
Yeah, because you usually end up being disappointed.
And not having expectations of what you're working for, how that end result is going to look like. The only expectations you can have is for yourself and what you do with what you're given. And, you know, whether it's a good thing or it's a bad thing, you can only expect in yourself how you react to that.
Yeah. I've been bitten with that a few times where you think, oh, well, this is how, like, I try to treat people I would like to be treated. That's how I go about business and life. And a lot of the time you learn that even if it's not the way you would do it, that's the way they do it. And that's a representation of them, not of you. So you've just got to keep going and, I suppose, just take it on the chin, because you can't control what other people do. It's out of your control completely. In terms of juggling, obviously, the business and being a mom of four, my northern accent's coming out there, a mom of four, how do you do that? So how do you do it, like, day to day now with your, is she a four-year-old, did you say? Yeah. So how do you do that? How do you deal with it?
So initially with my first three, when I was the single mom and, you know, doing that on my own, I had a lot of support from my older sister, who at the time would watch my youngest child because she was only three when I was single parent, and now she's 12. So, you know, I had a lot of support from her, and, you know, going back to work and then having another child, this was a very new experience for me. I didn't know what it was like to have a newborn child and have to take them to daycare or, you know, a nanny and have that experience. And initially I will say it was hard for me to say after 6 weeks, take her to a nanny or have the nanny come to our house. And
was that how long it was? 6 weeks after she was born?
Yeah. No, actually it was 8 weeks. Yeah.
And so that's not soon, that though.
8 weeks. And I was back to work. So it
you
was
have to, don't you, when you
huh?
You have to, don't you? Like, it's not, you don't always have the option to take longer off as well.
Yes. But it's interesting how I wish that companies would see, you know, how valuable women are and how much we bring to the table. And also we do have, we're so blessed to have the honor to carry the child and to have them, you know, and I wish that companies would not all companies, but there are some companies who don't necessarily see that and think, okay, yeah, you have to be back in 6 weeks and, you know, and kind of honor that and know that when they come back, their presence is going to be tenfold and they're going to be a healthy and happy mama. And they're going to be able to give back to their company so much more than when you're dealing with a mom that's emotional and sad about, you know, it's definitely hard when you have to have that transition of.
Yeah. See, in the UK, you get most companies, most jobs, you get 9 months maternity.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but like, so what, one of my first jobs, I got full pay for 9 months. Then I went back and they were like, oh, you've got loads of holiday leave to take. So I had to go. So I went back off again. And then another job, some jobs don't give you as much pay. So you might get a really big reduction in pay. So then you sort of have to make the decision that you can't take 9 months off because you can't financially cope, but they will allow you to do it. So that is good. But at the same time, there just need to be more companies that allow women to be able to be off with the baby, because they've been through a hell of a lot physically and mentally over the last 9 months anyway, then having a baby. And it's so, like, it is torture when you drop your baby off, when you have to go to work. It's horrible. And especially if they don't settle, there's not a bigger guilt than that. I used to sit in the corridor and cry when I used to take Jackson. I went to university and then I was working, and Jackson would cry. It makes me feel sad. And I used to sit in the corridor of the nursery and just cry and wait for him to stop crying because I couldn't leave. But you have to do it, because if you don't do it, you're never going to go any further than where you are at that moment.
Exactly. And for me, I really wanted to continue. I knew I still had so much more to continue with my career. And I thought, if I at home now, I'm literally just going to quit halfway. And I know that I have so much more now that she's four. I'm looking back and I'm like, yes, it was really difficult to do that, but
it was worth it.
So worth it. And it actually, I had a very different experience. I noticed that when I came home, I was very much involved in her and wanting to do things with her, rather than when you know, I've had the experience of staying at home and being with my kids, and you're kind of just, you know, going through the motions, and it's such a different feeling that I really set aside that quality time.
Yeah. You appreciate the time you had with her because you knew you didn't have as much of it as when you were at home. And
difference, right? And now I know the difference. And I think it's so important to, not everyone needs it, but somebody like me, I needed to know the difference. And sometimes I really needed to see, you know, and appreciate the circumstances. And now looking back, I'm super grateful. And now she's able to stay home and I'm working from home. And it's just such, when she was little, she had to go. And because my working environment was so much different. And now here she is four, and she's able to stay at home and, you know, go play with her friends and do all those things. And, you know, soon she'll start kindergarten. But, you know, if I didn't continue to persevere, I would still be in the same situation, and she'd be 4 years old, and I'd just be going to work and, you know, doing.
You make sacrifices, but to hopefully get yourself further where you need to be. You know, it's not always easy, but it should hopefully be worth it. And in terms of your children, I know you've got a 17-year-old, but if you could teach your children anything, and they're all daughters, so you've got all young women, and you know they're learning from you, what would you hope that would be?
Well, honestly, it's the main reason why I decided to move forward as a single parent, is to allow them to see that a woman can do anything they want. And it always feels now very strange to say that, because we are in 2021. It's very different than how it was even 10 years ago. Things have changed and evolved. But at that time, you know, in the group of people that I was with, it wasn't perceived that way. And, you know, mothers stayed home with their children. And I'm not saying, obviously, I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but we should all be able to have a choice. If we feel like we have certain talents that need to be developed at a certain time, when you're younger, not when you're older, you can be a mother at the same time as developing these skills. And the things that I always teach my daughters is that you can do anything that you want. There is nothing that holds you back. And the number one thing I always tell them is to be a little bit selfish when you're in your early 20s. It's okay. You don't have to rush into a relationship and, you know, always be considering someone else. Like, think about the things that you want to do, because once we get married and have a family, we're an adult for a long, long time. And I always want them to see that even though things are not always easy, that doesn't mean that you are not meant to have the things that you want in your life, and that it's important to continue to persevere and to be strong, and to ultimately be a good person, though. Make the good decisions. Just because you've been jaded, just because you've been hurt, you've been betrayed, people have stolen thousands of dollars from me, you know, partnerships that I had trusted, at the end of the day, I still needed to be a good person and make the decisions based off of who I am, and continue to translate that in the work that I do on a daily basis. So, you know, those are the things I really try to talk about with my girls on a daily basis. And I think the difference between now and 10 years ago is social media is so prevalent, which is such a beautiful thing, but it's also very, because they're constantly in this comparison of, am I as good as this person? Can I be like this person? Am I as pretty as them? Am I as talented? And, you know, my oldest daughter wants to become an entrepreneur and doing hair, and she wants to be not just, you know, for her, another hairdresser. She wants to evolve into something really great, you know, and she has to deal with looking at people's social media and then comparing, will I ever be good as her? And I said, honey, you're not going to be better than her. You are going to be you. You're going to be your own unique, finding your unique trait. And that's what's going to make, you know, you amazing. And so those are the things that, you know, us as parents, we get to experience with our children that we didn't have to experience, you know, even 10 years ago when we weren't even, what, Facebook had just started, and what was it, MySpace?
Oh, yeah. The pressures that children have now is so much greater than it was even when I was, you know, I think Facebook only started to be a big thing probably 18-year-old, 19-year-old, and even then it wasn't like it is now. We're constantly in comparison, but I've been reading a lot about this actually recently, and it's more for for me, I want to try and teach my children to strive for progress in themselves, not perfection, because perfection, who defines perfection? Who defines normal? You know, your version of perfection is completely different to someone else's. So stop trying to be something you're not and just progress you, not progress to this idea of perfect that doesn't actually exist, because it isn't a true fact. It's just through your own eyes. It's through the eyes of the beholder. So yeah, that definitely is a good thing to try and teach children to do, just to be the best version of them.
Yes. And that's where transparency, right? Where we're always talking about being a transparent person. I'm not perfect. I'm still not where I dream to be, but so that people can feel like they can relate to it and have hope that, you know, their future is going to look bright as well. But it's all about that transparency, right? Instead of living behind this fictitious filter.
Yeah. Definitely. And that, like I say, the videos and the posts and things you do, I think are brilliant. And I know that a lot of people listening to this will be inspired to just go and be the best version of them. So thank you very much for your time. I'm still blown away that you've got four daughters. I'm really shocked, and that I genuinely thought you were about 27 years old. And even now when I'm looking at your own video, I still think, Jesus, you're so beautiful. You're actually the first American guest I've had on, so first person outside of the UK. So thank you so much for your time, and obviously I know there's a time difference, so I appreciate you taking the morning to speak to me, and hopefully there'll be some more awareness in America about what we're trying to do, is to inspire women to go for the dreams even though they've become mothers.
Absolutely. Just because you're a mother, it doesn't mean that you don't have to keep doing. And there's nothing, not even financial, that needs to stop you. Whatever is meant to be, it will happen for you. You have to have faith and hope that your mindset is strong. So you just continue to have that mindset and eventually it will evolve.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your wise words, and the best of luck for 2021.
Thank you. You too. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Oh, my pleasure.
You have been listening to the Money Making Mothers podcast with Carla Edwards. If you have enjoyed the show, then leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Make sure to tune in next time, and don't forget, you can have it all.